Let me tell you how you broke the chain of my iniquity. How I went from craving greater certainty about you to craving greater steadfastness in you. At that time, everything in my temporal life was uncertain. The way of the Savior attracted me greatly, but I was reluctant to pass through the straight and narrow gate. You put in my mind to visit Simplicianus, a faithful servant of yours, by which your grace was made manifest through him. He was already an old man who had passed his years in zealous discipleship in your ways. I was not satisfied with the life I was living, although my former passion for honor and wealth no longer had the hold of me that it once had. I loved the beauty of your house, but I was still tightly bound by the love of women. Scripture had not forbidden me to marry, but the apostle exhorted me to something better, wishing earnestly that all men were as he himself was. But I was weak and chose the easier way, and for this single reason my whole life was one of inner turbulence and listless indecision. I had found the pearl of great price, but I hesitated to sell all that I had to buy it. So I went to see Simplicianus, the spiritual father of Ambrose, whom Ambrose truly loved. I recounted to him all my wanderings. When I mentioned that I'd read certain books by Plato, translated into Latin by Victorinus, Simplicianus congratulated me for not falling upon the writings of other philosophers, which were full of fallacies and deceit. The pathway of the Platonists, at every turn, he said, led to belief in God and his word. Then he told me about Victorinus himself, who had been professor of rhetoric at Rome, that he died a Christian. He told me how this most learned, most skilled man in all the liberal arts, who had read, criticized, and explained so many of the writings of the philosophers, and was the teacher of so many noble senators, one who, as a mark of his distinguished career, had merited a statue in the Roman Forum, which men of this world esteem a great honor. This man, who up to an advanced age, had been an idol worshipper, and a communicant in the sacrilegious rites to which almost all the Roman nobility were wedded. He had even inspired the people to worship Osiris, a god Rome first conquered, then worshipped. All this old Victorinus had defended with thundering eloquence for years. Yet he did not blush to become a child of Christ, bowing his neck to the yoke of humility and submitting his forehead to the ignominy of the cross. By what means did you find your way into that heart? He used to read the Holy Scriptures, and as Simplicianus reported, thought out all the Christian writings most studiously. He told Simplicianus, not openly, but secretly as a friend, "You must know that I am a Christian." To which Simplicianus replied, "I shall not believe it, nor shall I count you among the Christians until I see you in the Church of Christ." Victorinus then asked, with mild mockery, "Is it then the walls of the church that make Christians?" He would often affirm that he was already a Christian, and as often Simplicianus made the same answer. And just as often Victorinus repeated his jest about the walls of the church. He was fearful of offending his friends, proud demon worshippers that they were, fearing that a storm of enmity would descend upon him. But he steadily gained strength from his reading and study, and came to where he feared being denied by Christ before the holy angels more than he was now afraid to...